So last Sunday, Pastor Elizabeth spoke on what? The gift of? Oh, what'd you say? Faith, presence, pastoring. Yeah, a little bit of. She covered a couple different things. I was going to look at Bill. Bill wasn't even here last week. He was apparently he wanted to see his grandkids graduate or something. I don't know. Why would you want to miss church for that? Who knows? But this week, we're going to jump into the gift of healing miracles. Faith that heals, power that reveals. You have the handout there in front of you. If you didn't get one, scan the code. If you're online, it's in the video description. But as we get going today, we're going to just jump right into 1 Corinthians 12. And this is what it says in verse 9 to 10. It says this. Actually, I'm going to start in verse... Well, okay, I got to read the beginning because it's got to make sense. Starting in verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when we were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous power, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. We've read that a few times. Let that sink in just a little bit. As we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the body of Christ, the church, your bride. We thank you that each and every one of us, oh God, is made uniquely by you in our mother's womb. Lord, you've made us uniquely for purpose, on purpose. And Lord, as part of your church, you've given each and every one of us a different gift, a different way to express, Lord, your wholeness, your well-being, and your love, Lord, toward one another for the common good and for the good of the world around us. We pray that you would build the unity in our church, that we would work well together, Lord, that your kingdom would certainly be evident among us, that your love, your light would be evident, Lord, anytime we gather, whether here on Sunday, at the beach next week, or some point in between. God, we give you praise, honor, and glory now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we know the church is not called just to talk about the power of God, but I believe we're actually meant to demonstrate the power of God. And as I just shared, as Jim went through the slides last week, it was, you know, some very practical things that got done, some very fun things that happened, some very spiritual things that took place. But everything came together. Everybody worked together to make it happen. And it is a demonstration of even our faith in action. It is even a demonstration of God's transformational power at work among us. And we want to continue to see God's work demonstrated, not just talked about. No one wants to come to church and just talk about something. We want to experience the presence of God, not just talk about God. And so this is what we aim to do with the gifts of the Spirit. We want to talk this morning about the gift of faith, the supernatural confidence in the goodness and power of God. So we've talked about that. Paul introduces us to two more things, the gift of healings and the working of powers or miracles. Notice that it's the gift of healings, plural, not just the gift of healing. That it's not a one-and-done gift that God gives. You don't have to answer this question out loud, but I want to ask you this question. Have you ever had an experience or a moment in your life where something happened and people went away, or maybe you stepped away saying, God did that, or God showed up? Have you ever had one of those moments that no other way it could have happened except for by the power of God? These are the kinds of things that we want to talk about this morning. So we look at the gift of healing or healings. We believe that this is the heart of Jesus on display. When he brought creation about, when he created everything, he said it was good. When he knelt down on his knees and put some dirt together and breathed breath into the lungs of Adam, and Adam came alive, he didn't just say this was good. He looked at Adam and said, this is very good. And when he created Eve and Adam and Eve together, he looked at them and he said, this is very good. I believe that God desires for us to be whole. I believe that God wants us not to be broken, not to be inundated with pain and suffering, but God desires us to be whole. And so Jesus introduces us to the gift of healings. If you look at the Greek word, charismata, iamaton, again, I don't speak Greek, but that's the best you're going to get from me this morning. It's plural on both ends, the gifts of healings, if we were to say it in English. It doesn't sound right grammatically, but it's the gifts of healings. This isn't a one-size-fits-all power. When we look at the definition of healings and miracles in this particular passage that we read, we understand the language that we read the Bible in today, in Canada, English, what I just read, is not the language it was written in, so we have to understand it in a different context. And I had this conversation even with Jim the other day. But when we see that Jesus is teaching his disciples, he's likely reading the scriptures to them from a Hebrew Bible. He's speaking to them in Aramaic, he might be reading from Greek, speaking in Aramaic, thinking from a Hebrew perspective. I think I said that right. Thinking from a Hebrew perspective, reading from Greek, speaking Aramaic. And so we already have translations at work in this moment. And then we read the Bible in English translated from it. So for us to understand some of the words, we got to dive a little bit deeper into this. And so the definition here, plural, gifts of healings, demonstrates to us it's not just a one-size-fits-all. So it's diverse, it's layered, and deeply personal. That means that Jesus might heal a person with the same disease differently. It means that he may heal us in a way we don't expect at all, or he may choose, we'll get to this in a little bit, not to heal that person for one reason or another. We know from Scripture that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're no longer formed in our mother's womb. We all know we have unique DNA. We all have unique fingerprints. All of us in this room don't look the same, right? If you were to look around the room, you would go, we all look a little bit different. I know many of you want to look like me. I'm sorry. It's just not possible. You weren't created that way. We praise God that that is true this morning. But we are all uniquely and fearfully, wonderfully made, and yet we're all human. And so the way that God must approach our wholeness is going to take a different approach depending on our situation and our need. Just because we prayed one way for someone one time doesn't mean it's going to work for another person because we pray that same way again. Now, our faith level might be the same, but the words that we use, there's nothing magical to the phrases that we use when we pray. Or someone that has the gifts and the gift of healing, they might say the same phrase, their faith might be the same, but God works differently for different people because, as we just read, it's not a one-size-fits-all power. It's diverse, layered, and deeply personal between us and God. Well, I just skipped to the last page. That sounds pretty good for some of you. We're not there yet. We see the original language, the authors, the gift of healing is meant to be dynamic. And the goal is to bring a full healing and restoration, reflecting the holistic nature of God's work, which is not, of course, a one-size-fits-all. These are spirit-given moments. These are spirit-led moments where God breaks into human pain with divine compassion. Let's look at a couple examples where the Spirit intercedes and interacts with divine compassion. These are intimate, revealing that God sees, that God knows, and that God cares. Let me just challenge us for a second here this morning, because I'm sure all of us have had someone in our life who has experienced a level of suffering. Maybe you personally have experienced or currently are experiencing a level of suffering. And you've called out to God. You've had people call out to God on your behalf. And you are still waiting on the miracle from heaven. Well, let me share with you today. Whether you have received a miracle or not, we know that God sees you, that God knows you, and we know that God cares for you. Sometimes we sing the song, Waymaker, Miracle Worker. Even when I don't see it, I know that you're working. Even when I don't feel it, God, I know that you're working. These are hard faith testing seasons. These are hard faith testing moments. To say the phrase, God, even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, even when I don't hear it, or God, I saw you do it for somebody else, but not for me. God, I'm going to trust that you see me, that God, you know me, and that God, you care for me. And so in your next moment of prayer, your next season of difficulty and struggle, or the next time you pray for somebody, remember these three things. God sees me, God knows me, and God cares for me. Can we do that? That is one of the most incredible steps of faith that I believe that you can take. In the middle of my suffering, in the middle of my pain, in the middle of my weakness, God, I'm trusting you that you see me, that you know me, and that you care. God, when nobody else sees me, when nobody else knows me, and when, God, it feels like and looks like, and maybe it's even true that nobody cares for me, God, I trust that you do. So three stories, Matthew 4, 23 to 24. They're all in your notes. I would encourage you to take those notes. The handout that I gave you, you can read these stories later. You can see the demonstration of Jesus' powers. If we had some time, I would have some readers in the room to read some of these out. But Matthew 4, 23 to 24, we see that Jesus healed every kind of disease, which means there is nothing that our God cannot do or handle. There is no disease, no sickness that our God cannot handle. Luke 17, 15 to 19. Jesus heals the leper, and the leper returns in gratitude. Now, leprosy, that was one that no one wanted to get near. A leper, what would happen if you touched a leper? You would end up with leprosy. And so no one wants to lay hands and pray for the leper. Well, Jesus did, and he was healed. And out of all the ones that he healed, this one came back and gave thanks. Another thing Jesus does is he heals a man, he delivers a man, and this man becomes a missionary. He heals the man for a purpose, on purpose. Well, that sounds familiar. Didn't you say that already, Gary? Yes, I did, because I said that you were created for a purpose, on purpose. And we see that Jesus brings deliverance to a man, and he becomes, in Mark chapter 8, or 5, 18 to 20, we see he becomes a missionary to his people. And even though he wants to go with Jesus, we see he becomes the voice of God to his people, the light that they see. They experience the love of God through the man that Jesus delivers. And so our healing or our lack of healing or our journey always speaks to something greater than ourselves. It always speaks to the power of God. It speaks to the love of God. It speaks to the caring of God, whether he heals or not. Because our faith often will speak louder than words. Jim talked about our guest speaker last week, and Pastor Mitch Horner from North Edge Church in Sudbury, and he did a fantastic job leading our men, talking about who you are when no one is looking. Faith without words, or faith without actions, is dead, according to the book of James. And Mitch shared that, and that resonated with me. That resonated with some of our guys, to say, faith isn't just about going to church every week on Sunday and singing a few songs, dancing with the kids, and listening to Pastor Gary talk on and on and on and on. Because faith is much more than just words. And in our moments of weakness, when those around us see us struggle and they see us choose to praise God in the middle of our suffering, our faith becomes way more effective than our words. However, healing certainly demonstrates God's power, but more importantly than demonstrating God's power, healing reveals that God is near. Healing reveals that God is near. I remember as a kid, we went to this big church in Toronto, and they brought someone on stage, and they had this special speaker, and he had the gift of healing. And so when you're in a big crowded room, when you're kind of almost a stadium type space, and you look across and you see it, you have to watch it on a big screen because there's so many people, the room is so big. You know, it's really hard to go, is that real? Did that really just happen? Like, did that person's leg really just get a little bit longer because they used to walk with a limp and now they don't because their leg is, like, is that real or are they faking it? How do you really know? And we just trust that God is God and that God does what God does. And we just trust that in that moment, those church leaders were authentic followers of Jesus. What is more obvious, though, is when you're in a small, intimate group of people and you see God do an act of healing with somebody. Because that group can't deny that it's the power of God. But more importantly than that, healing reveals that God is near. There is a celebration, there is a peace, there is a joy that comes when we see when God is near. Now, what happens when God doesn't heal? The mystery of healing. Sovereign, it's not automatic. If we're honest, we know not everyone is healed. And that can be hard for us to reconcile in our own minds. Paul talks about the thorn in his side, the thorn in his flesh that was never healed. And some theologians debate what was this thorn in his flesh. Was it something physical? Was it something spiritual? We can debate that another day. But even Paul himself, who wrote the book or the letter to the Corinthians that we just read, he wrote to them and said, some of you have these gifts. I've seen these gifts in action. He probably received prayer for his thorn in his flesh, and yet he was not healed himself. And he was God's man. He was the one that God chose to write most of the New Testament, yet God chose not to heal him. Why? Well, the gift of healing is always subject to God's will. These gift givers or these people with the gifts of healing aren't magic wielders. They don't have a magic wand that they can just wave, as nice as that would be. Like, when I'm sick, I hate being sick. Like, I tell my wife, just, is there not something you can go to the pharmacy? Like, can't you go visit Vanessa at the pharmacy? Can't you go visit Tammy? Like, give me something from the pharmacy that would make me better instantly. Like, is that not how it should work, right? We go to the doctor's office. Can't you just give me a pill, doctor, to make me better? Give me a needle. Give me a shot. I'll take a shot if it makes me better, doctor. That would be great, you know. That would be fantastic. And I don't want any side effects either when I take that. That'd be great, right? There's no magic pill. There's no magic wand. When it comes to healing, this is what it's about. First and foremost, healing is about giving glory to God. Healing is not about the good of the person, but it's for the good of the person. And the gift of healing is for the strengthening of the church. Again, to demonstrate that God is near. And so maybe God doesn't need to perform an act of miracle or healing in that moment. And when it doesn't come, we certainly lean in on God's grace. And we certainly lean in and just say, God, you are good. I don't like it. I don't understand it. I don't want it. But God, in the middle of my suffering, in the middle of my pain, I'm trusting that you are good. Because if you heal me or you don't, Lord, it's for your glory. If you heal me or don't, Lord, I know it's for my good according to your will. Whether you heal me or not, I know it's for the strengthening of the church. We read James 5, 13 to 16 this morning. We can read this one. I have it in my notes here. It says this, if any one of you is in trouble, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Here's the reality. Prayer is one of the keys for healing to come. Sometimes healing comes through medicine. Sometimes healing comes through eternity. You know, one of the greatest forms, Elizabeth and I talk about this all the time, one of the greatest forms of healing is when we take one of our loved ones who love Jesus and we get to usher them into the kingdom of heaven forever. Like, what greater blessing? You have fought the good fight. You have done everything you could do on this earth, and now the time has come for you to go home to Jesus. Not that we shouldn't pray for them, but why would we want to rob them from such an amazing blessing, the full presence of God? We know, as we just read through James, maybe there's some things that are in the way of our prayers. Because the prayer of a righteous person is effective. And this is a message really for another day. But we don't want to ignore it this morning. Maybe the first prayer before we pray for healing is, God, would you just search my heart? Would you bring spiritual wholeness, spiritual maturity, oh God, to my mind and to my heart? Would you create something new? Would you just transform something inside of me? And it says, and it's a very simple formula that James gives. It's the formula of the gospel. It just says, if there's something in your life, just call it out. Say, God, this thing in my life is in the way between me and you, and I'm calling it out. I'm telling somebody about it because it brings darkness, it brings light to darkness. And when we bring light to darkness, it compels us to be transformed, to be renewed, and to be forgiven. And when we come to God with our spiritual condition taken care of, then we are ready for God to move in the physical. Whether God answers or not, the way we expect him or want him to, we know in every case that God is still the healer. Now, the gift of miracles is part of healing, but it is a little bit different. It's literally translated workings of powers. Again, it's plural. We wouldn't say it properly in English, but the gift of miracles is workings of powers. And it again refers to the supernatural interventions of God that defy explanation. Again, some further reading for you. Acts 3:1-10, Peter heals the lame man at the gate. Acts 5:1-16, healings, deliverance, and even judgment happens through the gift of miracles. And Acts 9:36-43, Tabitha is raised by the dead. Now, I have never seen someone physically raised from the dead. I know that it's happened. I know that it's happened in my lifetime around the world, but I have never seen that happen. And if I was in the hospital room with you and your loved one and you said, Pastor Gary, pray for them to come back, I'm not too sure what to do in those moments. I have the faith to believe that if God wants to, he will. I have the faith to believe that God wants to, he could and he can. But we certainly want to discern what God's will was in that moment. And trust me, I don't want to take anyone from heaven and put them back on earth either. So I really don't understand this gift of raising the dead, but it happens. I believe that miracles stir awe, they stir faith, and they stir up repentance. They're not tricks, they're, again, not magic signs. They're signposts pointing to a life-living Jesus. John 20:30-31, Jesus' miracles were written down so many would believe. Acts 4:29-31, miracles embolden the church to keep on praying, to keep on preaching, to keep on pursuing the mission that God has given them. This morning, before we close, faith, healing, and miracles, all of them together are a divine partnership. These gifts often flow together. A believer with the gift of faith believes boldly. A believer with the gift of healing prays over the sick. And a believer with the gift of miracles steps out expecting God to move. You know, these signs and these miracles don't have to be big deals. But when we just have a faith of expectation, it's amazing to see God show up even in the little things. And so we didn't do it this year, but the last couple of years we've had different youth groups come and run a kids' camp for us here at the church for our community. And the last day, every time, we've taken them on a prayer walk through our streets here in Terrace Bay. And I'll never forget the one story. I just said, okay, guys, before we go out, we're just going to believe and pray and expect God to do something. Whether it's big or small, we're going to believe and expect God to do something as you pray. And so before we leave the room, take some time between you and God, just alone, and just ask God to share something with you, a name, a picture, a sign. Maybe he give you just a vision of something. And somebody had the vision. I probably shared this story. Someone in our prayer right here in this space, they were just praying. They didn't share it out loud in that moment. But God gave them the logo and the sign of the pet store uptown, Thunder Pet. And so their group, I didn't know this, they didn't share it. Their group is praying, they're kind of the downtown area. And I said, you know, if you feel called by the Spirit, go into a business and pray for the people at the business. If you see a house, you know, it'll be awkward, but go and knock on the door and ask if they want prayer. Like, just be obedient to what the Spirit of God wants to do. And some did, and some people, they would knock, and people would answer the door, and they'd say, no, thank you. Some would, you know, welcome them in, offer them food, and we said, no, we got to keep going. This one lady This one girl from the team, as they were going uptown, they were going to, I guess, kind of skip the one spot. And all of a sudden, she saw the sign for Thunder Pet. And she's like, I got to go in there. Our team, I don't know why, that's the picture that God gave me. We have to go in. And sure enough, I don't know who was working at the time. I don't even know if they still work there now. If you're watching, let me know. I'd love to hear the rest of the story. But they walked into the store and said, hey, you know, we're this youth group. We're here with North Shore Church, and we're doing a prayer walk. You might not know what that is, but we really felt that God wanted us to come into your store for some reason. Is there anything that we can pray about for you? Well, it turns out whoever was working that day, their husband had a heart attack or some sort of heart issue that morning. They were quite distraught. They still had to come to work, open the store, and do the things, and just kind of quite worried. And so it was like God's perfect timing in that moment. Now, that's maybe a big deal, but it's also a small detail of having the faith to believe an expectation that God is going to move when we pray. That if we take the time, we can all can experience this element of faith, of expectation for God to work. Now, for those of us with the gift of faith, we always live in expectation. I think that was 2 weeks ago when I kind of shared that message. You never know the smallest of details that make the biggest difference in somebody's life. We may shrug it off and go, yeah, that's just how God works. That doesn't surprise me at all. And it doesn't surprise me, but I still get excited about it. I still get excited to see God move, because not only does healings reveal that God is near, his power, his presence reveal, his showing up when our expectations reveal that God is near. All of these gifts may not be identical, but they certainly overlap. Finally, this morning, we recognize that we may have difference of gifts. They may appear differently. They may manifest differently. The way that you pray might be differently the way that I pray, and we praise God for that. But as we read this morning, 1 Corinthians 12 says, all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes to each one just as he determines. So today, I think I have it in the handout. I believe I do. How do we engage some of these gifts today? If you have this gift, or maybe it's down further in your list, that's okay. It doesn't mean that you can't use it. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to use that gift. But how do we engage the gift of healings and the gifts of miracles among us and the gifts of God's presence and expectation? Well, first of all, it's really simple. We pray, and we pray boldly. And when you pray boldly, you also have to pray humbly. I don't have time for this story. I'm going to tell it anyway. You know, you can pray boldly without praying loud, okay? So there was a friend of mine. We were having this prayer meeting. We're in Bible college. One of the students wasn't feeling well. And he's like, Gary, I just really feel like God wants me to pray out loud for this person. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I'm here with you. Like, you go ahead. He's like, no, I just really feel like this. I said, yeah, go ahead, man. Like, I'm with you. And if you say something, like, wrong, it'll be okay. Like, there's enough grace in the room, we can handle it. And, well, like, if you ever thought you saw fire from heaven, it was that moment. Because he started praying that the power of God would come over this lady who needed a miracle. I'm like, where did that accent come from, man? Tone it down. Like, and it was just like, but he just like, he was so excited, and it just poof, everywhere. It's like, okay, we can pray boldly and humbly at the same time. Don't be afraid to ask God for healing or be part of someone else's miracle. Pray in faith and leave the outcome up to God. Now, we can pray insecurely. Like, God, if you want to, maybe, perhaps, would you please? If you have time, no. That's insecurity. That's not humility. And we can confuse the two. There's a fine line between shouting like Jimmy Swaggart and insecure Ingrid. There we go. Okay. No one here is named Ingrid, so we're good. Number two, stay close to the Spirit. These are the gifts of the Spirit, and we want to operate by staying sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting. We want to do that by listening, by being available. If you want to stay close to the Spirit and stay in step with the Spirit, you have to be intentional with your time with the Spirit of God. I got to catch my breath still. Okay. Number three, always give glory and all glory to God. Maybe God has used you. Maybe God's about to use you. Maybe he has, and it's amazing. The miracle itself is not about you. It's always about Jesus. It's always about the gift giver, not the gift user. And we don't build platforms. We point to the cross. Number four, we pursue the giver, not just the gifts. You know, faith, healing, miracles, they're all amazing signs. Like, we could look around the room and say, oh, I wish I had faith like that. I wish I had the gifts like that. I wish I could do what they can do. But it's not about the gifts. Because just because you have the gift of administration, the gift of serving, the gift of giving, maybe it's not as outward expressed and as cool and whatever as some of the revelatory gifts of healing and miracles. And we're not here to praise the gifts. All of these gifts work together. And all of the gifts are more about the gift giver than they are the gifts themselves. And so really number four is really the same as number three. Gifts, faith, healing, and miracle are all signs, but they're not the destination. They are the signposts that lead, hey, this is God working. This is Jesus at work today. They're not the destination. It's really cool when we see those things happen. I want to camp out at this sign. I want to see it again. But that's not the destination. The reason that God has brought healing is because he's got something more for that person's life. The goal is Jesus, always Jesus. The gift of faith believes, the gift of healing restores, and the gift of miracles reveals. And all of these things point to the Savior who died, rose, and reigns. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love for each and every one of us. I thank you, God, that you give us all a level of faith to believe, whether we have the gift of healing, the gifts of miracles or not. Lord, maybe some of us don't even have the gift of faith, but we can still be full of faith, and we can still be faithful. And so, Lord, today we trust that for those who need a miracle, Lord, you would call out those who have these gifts to rise up and to begin to pray. That we would pray and we would see, O God, your will be done above all other things. We pray today, Jesus, that your spirit would be known among us. That when someone, Lord, in the community or in our families that are far from you, God, when they see us pray in the middle of our storms, we pray that it would be inspiring, O God. And would you use these moments to point the signposts of God to the destination of being a part of the family of God. God, today I pray for every man, woman, and child, Lord, in the room and online today, and even those who are away. I pray, oh God, that they would know that you are near, whether through a miracle or by the simple, still small voice of your presence speaking to us, oh God. I thank you now for this morning, for those, oh God, who are thinking about taking the step of faith or taking the step in their faith journey, rather, about baptism. I pray that your spirit would speak clearly and louder than all the other voices, that they would know without a shadow of a doubt, this is what I have to do. God, I thank you now for who you are. In your name we pray. Amen.